Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hello, I'm Jules.
Hello, I'm Sarah.
And welcome. Welcome to... This is Jules and Sarah, the podcast, but we decided when we were planning this series that the last episode of this series would be a wobble.
Yeah.
And if you...
A collab.
And if you haven't listened to Wobble before, Wobble is a podcast that Sarah and I created about mental health and body confidence. And I'm just going to flat out say, way before that was a thing. It was way before people were talking about it in podcasts. And it was a very, it was a space that Sarah and I have always, always spoken about with one another. We've always been those friends who unpack how we're feeling. We talk about...
We get into it.
We get into it straight away and there's no shame between our friendship. And we talk about our mental health. We talk about our physical health. We talk about little things like anything that's kind of sending us a bit, I don't feel right.
Going west.
So we said that when we were doing this, we really wanted to have this conversation with one another about how we're feeling and about, like, as Sarah said just before, kind of about what it's like behind what you see on social media, behind what you see or hear on podcast episodes. Like, actually... not the real us, because we are real, but like how we're doing.
Yes. The sort of, because it's very easy, I think, to watch. Perhaps you follow us on Instagram, perhaps you see us online, perhaps you just listen to the podcast. It's very easy to go, oh, it's all fun and laughter and giggles and silliness and joy all the time.
It is that.
But of course, nobody's like that all the time. And everybody's got stuff that they're dealing with and everybody's got stuff that they're going through, and we just wanted to give a moment to really talk about some of that. And it's also stuff that we don't get to talk about anywhere else, because that's not, for whatever reason, that's just not what our socials or the podcast is for. So it's actually really nice to have a space. So welcome to our therapy session. But it's nice to have a space where we can share and we can talk about these things, because I've always found, and we've always found, that by doing that it invites other people to do it. And I'm always surprised, because you and I will get in there, and I've got, you know, I think your friends are very similar to my friends in that that's where you get in, you know, you go in, you don't sort of talk about the weather and you know, you know what I mean, like we get into it. And I'm always surprised when I meet somebody new And it doesn't go there. I'm like, oh, well, what are we going to talk about then? This is just nice chat.
We're just having lunch?
This is no chat. What's this? Like, I don't really do this. So it's just lovely to, because there's been a lot going on. You know, I've had a baby and I'm having another baby very quickly. That seems to be happening. And, you know, our lives have just changed. I don't know. It's just very easy to look at, you know, people and go, oh, they're all fine, they're all sorted. And it's just not the case, because so much has changed. So much has changed, because we stopped doing the podcast just before I had Nancy.
Yeah.
So I was really pregnant at that point. And then we thought we'd bring it back, but Nancy's now 18 months and I'm going to have a baby at the time of recording, in 10 weeks. fun, two under two. Which is a lot. But I think, one of the biggest changes for me was last April, I had finally had it with my anxiety, which, as you know, has plagued me, all my adult life. I can remember being a teenager.
What did we call your anxiety?
We used to call it, what did we call it?
Vic Barlow,
because Vic Barlow, it's so funny that we called it that. Vic Barlow is a dog trainer
yeah.
by my mum. And she and Vic Barlow used to train mum's previous Labrador, Molly. And he would say to June, well, what are you doing for its, you know, mental state? And mum was like, oh, well, I walk it. And he went, you could walk this dog to Sheffield and back. It needs mental stimulation. And so just that idea of being very tired from too much mental stimulation and too much thinking and too much overthinking, which was my experience of anxiety. And I think it's true of a lot of people. I would get very, very tired. So yeah, Jules was like, that's Vic Barlow talking. That's that overthinking, that anxiety moment.
And we found that naming Vic Barlow,
it was helpful.
It was helpful because yeah. I think for me, I would sit and I'd see the anxiety taking over. And Sarah used to stress about things that were just not like yeah. important. And so by naming Vic Barlow,
yeah.
then you would know that, oh, wait, this isn't me. This isn't yeah. actually...
I think it was really helpful. I think it was really helpful for you to point... To have...
To be able to
for
say,
you and I to have that language
yeah,
between us
yeah.
that you could go, this is that, by yeah, the way.
This is what's
happening.
Because
you could see it because I couldn't.
Yeah.
And I think when you're in it, you can't see it. And that for me was one of the... I mean, there were so many things that were utterly crap about anxiety. But you can't... It's like a fog. It just comes in and it's just foggy and you can't work out what to do next and you can't see the wood for the trees and you can't see what's real and what's not. That was my experience of it. And so in April last year, so I had Nancy. Nancy would have been about maybe 7 months, something like that. And I was just done with feeling like this. And I was like, I have waited for this to go away on its own. It has not. I have waited until I've put all those lifestyle choices in place. The early nights, the good food, the meditation, the exercise, the outdoor walks, you know, all of those things that we know are really good for us. I was done with waiting for those things to appear in my life. And so I was like, I'm gonna call out here. And I called my GP, who put me in touch with the mental health nurse, and she put me on meds. She was like, and that conversation, she was amazing. She was absolutely amazing. And I know there will be people, you might be listening to this and you might be worried about calling the doctor or whatever, or you might have not had that experience. And I'm really sorry if that was the case. But if you haven't reached out and you're thinking of reaching out, my experience could not have been more positive. And she was so lovely. And she was like, I'm really sorry you've been feeling like this. And just to hear somebody do that, I was like, oh my God, I'm not like coming up with this myself, you know, because that's easy to get into a trap of that, because you're like, well, this is me doing this to me, so I must be wrong. You know, I must be an idiot. I must be useless. And I'm, you know, why do I do this? Why am I like this? And then it's this vicious cycle, you know, of God, self-hatred and toxic self-talk mixed in with the anxiety. It's just, it's hell, it's awful. And you just don't have to feel like that. And that's the stage that I'd got to. And so since last April, I've been taking meds every day, and I can't tell you the difference it's made to my life. It's so apparent now, you know, all of the things that I was trying to do to appease the situation and to try and combat the anxiety was a chemical, you know, it's a chemical thing.
Yeah.
And once you realize that, or once I realized that, I was like, okay, I can take this. And I'm not, you know, I don't know if I'm going to be on meds forever. I don't know. I'm on them now. I've got no intention of coming off them,
yeah.
You know, and obviously I had to have that conversation with myself when I got pregnant again. You know, I had to sort of get information around that. And, you know, that's everybody's personal choice. And I just, yeah, it's been life-changing. It's been completely life-changing. And I'm not saying that I'm cock-a-hoop all the time and I never have those feelings, but the distance, the space that you can put in. And also when something comes in, you know, that would have sent me off, like, you know, whatever that would be, I can feel myself going down that path, but it's not there. That's how it feels. It feels like, oh God, I'm going to go. Oh no, it's fine. I've just come over here, actually. Yeah, wow. I've just, and that's only medication I feel could have done that for me.
That's amazing.
Yeah, it is amazing. It's amazing.
And also, like, well done for talking about that. Like,
yeah.
But, like, lots of people wouldn't.
Yeah.
And
well, I didn't for years. For years and years and years, I was like, no, I'm not. I wrote about it. I was like, no, I'm not going to take medication. Don't want to go down that route. No, 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 I'll fix it on my own. It's a very, I don't know, it's quite self, it's a bit of self-flagellation, I suppose, to go, no, 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 I'll deal with this on my own. Leave me, you know, I'm strong enough. I'm strong enough to deal with this on my own. It's only my mind or whatever. And it's just not true. You don't need to.
No, I think it's just like, I have this theory at the moment where, and I hate to say the pandemic, I hate to use the pandemic word, but like coming out of that.
Panny D.
Yeah. Coming out of that and life just going straight back to normal.
Yeah.
And sometimes I'm like, wait, what? Like, yeah, that was massive. And I just don't think my brain is like ready to do everything again. Like, do all the things and be doing.
Definitely.
And it's like, actually, that was huge. Mm. That was a massive moment.
Like, we can never, I don't think anyone's the same after that.
I don't think, you know, so. I don't think people talk about it either.
No, it's sort of like, oh, that's all done now. Mm. That's all done with and over and, you know, things are all back to normal. And I think actually it's that phrase of back. We're not going back.
No.
None of us went back to who we were pre-pandemic. How could you? You know, if it had been a little something that lasted 3 weeks, fine. It was 2 years.
Mm.
For some people, longer. It was huge. It was completely life-altering for everyone. And yeah, I think it's a really good point that you've raised that a lot of us are still feeling the effects of it in some way.
Yeah, massively. I think for me, I've definitely feel it in terms of body confidence, because I think I was a lot more confident before the pandemic.
Really?
I think that, especially in the last 8 months, not being in a great place with my body, have been having to work really hard behind the scenes, because obviously the moment that those thoughts start to come in, well, when you're doing body confidence and it's part of your brand and who you are, it affects everything and it affects my work. And when it affects my work, then I feel out of balance and I don't feel sexy when I'm around Dutch. I don't feel confident. I don't like my wardrobe. I don't like anything in my house. I want everything to change. I just don't want to. Just don't want to be. So that is something that I'm actually working through at the moment. And then also, and I haven't spoken about this online, but I know we've spoken about it, seasonal depression.
Yeah.
I've absolutely had seasonal depression. I think I've had seasonal depression every year of my life, but I've always just put it in the box of, I hate winter. I'm just not a winter person. I like heat. I like summer food, blah, blah, blah. Mm. This year, yeah, it's been really, really fucking hard behind the scenes, and showing up every day with a smile on your face on an app, and going into meetings and smiling and laughing and being that person, this big, vibrant, optimistic person that is the core of Isle of Paradise, is this person online, is really hard when you're putting the smile on and actually you're not feeling yourself. So March, I've had to take myself on this massive journey, and it really came from actually opening up about how I was feeling. I was really bottling it up and speaking to you, speaking to Dutch, speaking to my best friends about it, and saying, do you know what, I'm actually not okay. Like, I'm really not okay. That's really just airing what's in my brain and airing what I was feeling, putting it out into the open. I remember you just saying, once it's out, you're like, oh well, there we go.
Yeah.
That's that there.
Was it helpful to find a label like SAD? Was it helpful to go?
Helpful, but I didn't realize it until Dutch, because Dutch and I had named it the fog, and we were like, there's fog here, we don't know why. And there was times when, like, I've not gone to social situations, I've cancelled my diary, I've really felt like not getting out of bed some days. Like, there were days when Dutch was away, I just didn't open the curtains. I was like, I just can't be bothered today. Not me.
No.
That's not me at all.
And there'll be people listening who, well, I'm stunned to hear that.
So it's like, I think when I spoke to Dutch about it, I was like, God, everything that I'm describing, and I know all of this from working, from doing Wobble, from working with other people in the mental health space, I was thinking, God, this sounds like depression. And I'm not the kind of person who gets depressed. Like, I haven't got depression. And then I Googled seasonal depression, and I went through, and everything that it said on the NHS, I was like, oh my God. Oh my God. Everything here I have absolutely felt, I've absolutely had. So at the moment, I'm monitoring how I'm feeling, because I'm not going to go to the doctor now because I want to see how I feel in the summer.
Yeah.
Because if it is seasonal depression, let's see how we go in the summer. But it is all going on behind closed doors. Like, everybody has their stuff. Everybody has their feelings. But the most important thing that I felt about it is talking about it, is opening up about how I'm feeling. And I think the generation above us, I definitely feel, and I think you'll agree with this, Sarah, is very much like, how can you talk about your feelings so publicly? How can you talk about this? And the thing is, it's like, what I've learned is actually bottling them up, and I learned this the hard way in my school days, bottling things up actually only sends you in one direction. It is just the worst thing that you can do, in my experience. Talking about them, being open, and actually like being okay with not being okay, I think is a really helpful thing in order to move forward.
And then I think it's kind of the only way.
It's the only way, but people don't realise that that's the only way.
No, and I think the reason that I wanted to ask you if it was helpful to put a label on it is because when I first started, this was years ago, when I was able to put the label of anxiety onto how I was feeling, it suddenly allowed me to be able to talk about it, because that's very hard when you don't have the language to describe how you're feeling, which is why it's so important to keep trying to find it, which can be very frustrating. It can be like, well, I sort of feel like this and I feel like that, and then somebody makes a suggestion, you're like, no, it's not really that, but it's not this. It's very, so keep going with trying to find
something. As well, like, I've had lots of therapy before, we've spoken about therapy, and I know all the different rules and tricks to making yourself feel better, and it's something, but I'd almost rested on my laurels with it. I'd almost thought, oh yeah, well, I know what to do, and then I just stopped doing it, thinking that I knew, because I knew what to do, stopping doing it was going to be fine. And it was my friend Tessa who, she said to me that she was on a gratitude journey, and she was practicing gratitude, and there was lovely moments where she sent me a voice note out of the blue telling me everything that she loved about our friendship and why she was grateful that I was in her life. It was very emotional. But I remember her telling me about this and I think, oh, that's nice. And then actually when I'd Googled and like worked out that I think it is seasonal depression.
Yeah.
I remember thinking, when was the last time I practiced gratitude? I was thinking, I'm not practicing it. I'm not doing anything that my therapist had told me to do years ago. I'm just going on those dog walks, having that monologue in my head. And so in March, I've been on a small acts of kindness journey in secret. Like, I've been donating to charity. Or if someone says, I'm running a marathon, I donate to them. I'm buying strangers a cup of coffee in the queue. I'm saying like nice things to other people just to like spread a bit of gratitude and bring me some joy.
Has it worked?
It's working. Yeah, I'm doing a gratitude journal every single night, and that's really helping. And also, like, I had an Akashic Records reading, which is when they go into your soul and like read about past lives. But one of the readings that came out from that was saying that I need to actually go deeper into myself and learn about, not just keep it so surface level, like take it deeper. And actually, I think that's been really helpful. I've been like, actually, yeah, I need to go on like a bit of a self-love journey. I need to, anything that's going to make me feel good, I need to actually invest my time there. And if that means not going on a night out because the next day I need to be fresh to do this thing that makes me feel good, well, that's what I have to do. I have to prioritize the vibes. So yeah, I'm on a bit of a journey behind the scenes, which I will start sharing online. Actually, when this comes out, I might have started sharing it, but I also might not.
Yeah.
I might not.
I think it's really interesting that as someone who is all about positivity and is all about body confidence and optimism and generally feeling good and doing all of the gratitude, doing all of those things, I think there's a really interesting relationship between you being that person, but not necessarily being able to be that person for yourself. You, do you know what I mean?
Or like, just
not
all the
having,
time.
Being able, like, but almost, because I think the other thing that we can do as well is think we're healed. Mm. Like, you're like, well, I've dealt with my body positivity
and
issues.
I think that's where
like,
I was.
I've done it. I did all that. So yeah. I'm fine with that. So that'll never affect me again. I'll never have those sorts of thoughts again. And so, yeah, I think it's really important, actually, one, to remember that you're not immune. Like, do you know what I mean? You don't. And to remind everyone, to remind all of us, that you don't get fixed, you don't get to arrive one day and
there's
go,
no wand.
Oh, I've done, yeah. There's no, like, you know, magical golden land that we're going to arrive at one day where, you know, we can just, like, skip through life with no cares or concerns and just be like, oh, all that negative toxic talk that I, those intrusive thoughts that I used to have, no, they don't affect me anymore because I did this. It just doesn't work like that.
No, and it's something that I say when I'm doing other podcast interviews and like other interviews especially, I'm like, the body confidence one doesn't exist. You have to keep working on it. And it's so true. But I think I'd almost, that had become, I don't know, like a catchphrase. And I'm not saying that I am, there are, I am body confident, 100% I am. And I compare that to what I was like when I was 20. But it's like a constant journey and a constant work in progress.
Always.
It is constantly work in progress. And I think that, sometimes, especially in the industry, I think people just think I've found the confidence.
Yeah.
And they think, oh, well, he talks about it online. He takes his clothes off online. He talks about the confidence journey. It's not the case. Like, I'm still somebody with trauma and with past issues and they will never go away. I'm just learning coping mechanisms to like help me deal with these thoughts.
Yeah. It's interesting what you were saying that it seemed to really come in over the winter. You know, like it's really, this particular winter has really, sounds like it's knocked you over a bit with that. And how's that feeling now?
Getting less and less. Speaking to friends has been super helpful. Went to Miami with some friends just to get some sun after a work trip because I told my friend Mark that I was feeling this way and he said, no, we need to go to Miami. We can go. We can make this work. Well, let's
great
get
that
some,
you could do that.
Well, let's get
what
some
gift.
Heat. And probably by the time this one comes out, I'll have just had a holiday, which we hadn't booked, and we booked the holiday, so made sure we were going to somewhere hot. And this Christmas coming, I don't think I'm going to be here for Christmas. I think I'm going somewhere hot. I'm getting out. And I'm just going to have 3 weeks in the sun because I know that mentally I need it. I need it.
So nice to know yourself. I mean, that's what it's all about, isn't it? Getting to really know yourself and know your patterns and know what works and know how your year looks. I think that's something else actually that I've embraced in the last couple of years. I think I wrote about this in my newsletter, living a bit more seasonally. So really noticing that we're all in a cycle and we're all in a pattern and, you know, like winter's not going to last forever. Summer's not going to last forever. Like we're all just on this cycle. We're somewhere along it and it will come back again. You know, everything's going to come back round. And if you don't feel good now, it will pass and then you'll feel good again. And then, you know, something will happen. And that's what we're going through. And I think for a long time, if I did start to feel good, I'd be like, oh my God, it's going to go. I'm going to lose it. It's going to be fleeting. Do you know what I mean? Like I've got to cling on to it. I've got to grab hold of it and getting really scared of feeling bad again. And actually just knowing that that is how it works, that you do just...
Because change is the only constant.
Yeah. Yeah. But how nice to learn. Like, I feel like I've learned more about how I operate across the year now. Like, I always used to be amazed by August. I used to be like, why is nothing happening? Nothing's happening. Nothing's happening with work. Nobody's around. And then it took me a while. And I'm like, oh, it's August. So knowing that now, knowing that nothing really happens in August and nothing seems to happen early January, particularly for me, is really, it's lovely because you can sort of like look across your year and go, okay. And then you can look every 3 months and go, okay, well, that's going to be winter. You know, I've even changed my wardrobe according to that. Like I realized I can't wear trainers all year round because they get muddy and they get dirty.
Yeah.
And then, so I need, what do I need? Okay, well, I need a good dog walk boot, but I won't want to wear the dog walk boot if I go out for lunch. But if it's raining, I won't want to wear my trainers. You know, just little things like that. And that has made everything's so much smoother, because I've always struggled with clothes and wardrobes and what to wear and all the rest of it. And actually to streamline that and to look at that more seasonally, although it sounds so obvious, has actually been reduced a lot of stress for me to go, okay, well, I'm going to wear this now and I wear this now. And I'll always remember like coming to your house in sort of spring and being absolutely boiling, like wearing a big jumper or just the wrong thing. And I was like, oh my God, I've worn this. And I always remember you saying, oh, it's mid-season, darling. No one knows what to wear.
It's true.
It's true. But it was really helpful, because it's very easy to think, oh, everybody else has nailed this. You know, that's always been a big story for me. Everybody else is great. Everybody else has nailed it. Everybody else knows what they're doing. Everyone else is having a great time. I'm the idiot who hasn't figured it out yet. You know, that was always my story. And just you saying that, I was like, oh, thank God, no one knows what to wear. It's not just me. Other people are too hot or too cold or got rained on or wore the wrong shoe or whatever. So that's been, yeah, just a lot of, it's very compassionate. I think that's the biggest change for me, finding a lot of self-compassion.
Do you have a word, or not necessarily a mantra, do you have any words that you're leaning into for this year or this next stage of where you're going that you keep coming back to?
So my word for the year that I chose was relax. Because I felt like I spent a lot of, certainly the end of last year, a lot of time worrying. I worried a lot, particularly about money. I was really worrying and worrying and worrying. Mm. And it got me absolutely nowhere. Like, it did nothing. It didn't move things on or help whatsoever. So I was like, okay, well, what's the opposite of worrying? And I thought, well, it's being relaxed, isn't it? It's being relaxed. It's trusting. It's just allowing whatever needs to happen to happen. It's been hard, because my default position is to worry. Like, and just worry what might happen. Because that's anxiety, you know, worrying about stuff that isn't happening or hasn't happened yet. And your brain, I mean, that can just go on forever, you know. Like, so yeah, relaxing, trying to relax, trying not to worry has been what I've been trying. I don't know how successful I've been.
But well, it's a good, there. But yeah, but at least it's a good check-in to remind yourself that relax is your word. And I think, if you're listening and you don't have a word for this year, now might be a good time to think, well, what word do I want to have for the rest of the year?
And you can have a word for a season as well. Yeah. Lucy talks about that, you know, changing your word, like now, you know, so it might have changed from the beginning of the year. Now we're sort of getting into spring and stuff. What was yours?
So my word at the moment is powerful.
Lovely.
That's the one that I'm really going for. I'm like power, stepping into power, empowerment. Like, that's really where it's taking me. I think, yeah, because words that go like gentle and kindness, or that's like remit words. They're my go-tos. And confidence. That is something that there's always the, is this going to make me feel more confident? If I'm doing this, is this going to improve my confidence? Because that for me knocks across everything.
Yeah.
And it's like talking inner confidence and outer confidence. And everything has to come back to that.
Yeah.
Is this affecting the inner or the outer? And if it's not, then why am I doing it?
Mm.
And am I obliging? Am I just giving in? And then I'm not nourishing myself.
Yeah.
So yeah.
Yeah.
There we are.
Good. How's it going?
So far, so good.
Oh,
March
good.
Has been amazing. Yeah. I feel like...
Well, you've committed. I've committed.
And I did a retreat this month that was... I tried surfing for the first time. I drove for 4 hours to get to this retreat because I was like, oh, and work came in and I almost cancelled. And instead of staying over, I just went there and back in the day. And I met amazing people. I did yoga, which actually I really enjoyed yoga, but I just put it in this London yoga bubble of just waspy people that were not my kind of people, that were ironically not yogi, you know, like just pretentious yoga. Yeah. That's not my vibe. And breath work, amazing amounts of breath work that I think I've massively overlooked.
Yeah, it's great.
And like hot and cold therapy, like getting in a sauna, getting in an ice bath, sauna, ice
How
bath. And it's really good for your circulation. And really, it really cleared my mental fog. So I think like if you... and maybe feeling like how I have been feeling, my advice is to just put yourself on a self-love journey. Get on like a train and go, do you know what? This month,
yeah,
it's all about me.
And a month's doable, yeah, isn't it? A month's not forever.
No, and you don't have to do it every day. No. Like, you make the rules, babes. Yeah.
And also find what works. You know, we were talking about knowing yourself and knowing what works for you.
And I actually thought of you on this retreat, because I've never really done a retreat. I've hosted them, I've worked at them, I've been a speaking head at them, but I've never actually been on a retreat. And I remember you've been on quite, like, you've done a few things.
I've done all sorts.
I couldn't believe how amazing I felt after it. And like, I'd always put that like self-love costing and financial commitment, I'd almost put it to the bottom, because I was like, well, I'm already there. I'm already like, I got a bit smug married with it. And actually, like, it was, oh God, I'd do it again. I can't wait to spend my cash on that.
Yes.
I don't want to spend my cash. Like, obviously, I want to spend my cash on champagne and shoes, but like, I want to spend my cash on self-love and like improvement and making myself feel better.
Yeah. And just to say, because I've had huge conversations with myself about money, in the last sort of year. And, you know, please don't listen to this thinking, oh God, I'd love to go on a retreat, but I can't, so I can't do anything.
Yeah, of course.
Like, it is really important to know that there's tons of stuff you can do for free. There's tons of stuff you can do for no money. And
also,
you
know, like TED Talks and like self-improvement and talks on, I watched an amazing TED Talk on the 7 or 4 different types of relaxation.
Yeah.
Well, I didn't even know. Just that is a form of nourishment, and that's all free content that's out online.
But you can have a change of scene. If you're like, I need to get out there and I need to do it, there is free stuff.
There
is stuff you can do, and you can just have a change of scene. You can get on a bus, you can get on a train, you can get in the car and just do something else for the afternoon. And it's it always amazes me how much that helps. What a lovely chat.
Lovely.
What a gorgeous chat. We love you so much. Thank you for listening, and thank you for giving us the opportunity to do this.
Yeah.
You know, thank you for coming with us, because, you know, it's gorgeous that you've always been there on the podcast. And it was so amazing when we did do Wobble, those 2 series of Wobble, which you can still listen to. Like, they still exist. They're still out there. And it's, you know, it was really amazing when you came with us on that as well.
Yeah.
So thank you for allowing both. Thank you for allowing the fun stuff and the serious.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Stuff. And we love you very much. And we will see you next time.
Bye.